Good morning. Russ is out of town this week, so I have the pleasure and the honor of filling in for him. We'll all be glad when he gets back, especially me. I called him yesterday. I was doing a remodeling project and got in over my head and had to have some advice. So I got off the phone with him, and he said probably most preachers, whenever they're out of town, get called with spiritual advice. Russ gets called with carpentry advice. So. But no matter what reason we have for wanting him to be back soon, we'll be glad that whenever he is back. I'd like to talk to you a little bit this morning about a very serious subject, and that's superheroes. Superheroes. Whenever I was growing up, I guess it's fairly common that people, especially young guys, love superheroes. And I always loved reading the comic books and everything. About the superheroes. And I guess every guy went through a phase where you tie a towel around your neck and you think suddenly you can jump off anything and not hurt yourself and end up in the emergency room. But people want to be superheroes. And so I was so excited when they started coming out with all the superhero movies. I enjoyed those. Even though I was an adult, I think when the first Superman movie came out, still that started a trend. And now they've had movies about all sorts of superheroes. They went from Superman, and then they went through the whole Batman series, and they've had Green Lantern and Captain America. I think one of my favorites was always the Incredible Hulk. For some reason, I always liked him. He was a superhero that just relied on his strength alone. And so he could do all kinds of things with his powerful strength. And so that was kind of impressive. Batman was impressive because he didn't actually have any superpowers. All of his crime-fighting ability was just in his fighting ability, but especially in his detective ability. He worked a lot with his mind, and then he had a lot of cool gadgets and stuff to help him out. Everything. So that was kind of cool. So each of them have their own things that make them unique. But I just like Hulk. I just always thought that'd be cool to have a best friend, that was like the Hulk, that walks around. Nobody ever picks on you or anything in school. So that just seemed like a great thing. And whenever we bring kids to church, sometimes it's kind of hard for church to compete with all of those kind of images that they have with comic books and TVs of all these superheroes. But what you may not realize is that the Bible is full of superheroes too. And, we could talk about Paul and Peter and things like that. But I'm actually talking about honest-to-goodness superheroes. Every now and then, God just feels like the time is right to do something to show us what kind of power he really has. So we weren't around to see the creation of the world, which was one of the most amazing things. But we can look around and see that it happened, but there's just nothing like actually seeing some kind of an incredible event. And one of the first big ones was the parting of the Red Sea. Anybody that was there and watched that got a very visible and graphic demonstration of the power of God. But God, at one point, decided, I guess it was time for another demonstration, but he wanted to work through a person. And so he created a guy named Samson. And Samson, he was a superhero, just the same that we read about in the comic books. This was a guy that at one point he's walking along and a lion runs out, and he just grabs up the lion and tears him apart with his bare hands. This is a superhero. There was a time when he wanted to get back at some enemies, and he went and rounded up 300 foxes, and he tied their tails together and put some burning, like a torch, tied it to them and sent them loose through the enemy's fields and set all their fields on fire and burn them down. So he's the kind of guy that he picked up the jawbone of a donkey and he went out and just killed 1,000 people with it. That's not the kind of thing that we really see that much of today. One of the most impressive things that I heard about in his early life is that he had some kind of a vendetta against a city back then, And he went and he picked up the city gates, you know, with framework and all, and carried it out and put it out on top of a hill near the city. I mean, this is something worthy of the Incredible Hulk. If you can just imagine the gates to a city, you know, the big, huge wooden structures with metal fastenings and hinges and the big framework, there's no telling how much this weighed. And he just picks it up, lifts it up over his head, and just carries it out up a hill, no less, and puts it out there. You know, this is a superhero. And the big thing about him that's even better than the Incredible Hulk is that this guy actually lived. This was a real person. Now, he got his strength from God. And so Charlie and I had an argument about who would win a fight between Incredible Hulk and Samson, and he was voting for Hulk. And Hulk did have a lot of power and, you know, demonstrated some more amazing things than Samson did. But I said, you know, Samson had God on his side. So that was a big difference. He said, well, if you're going to fix the fight. But that's what God does. God fixes the fight. And so, no, it's not a fair fight sometimes whenever you've got God on your side. And that's who we have on our side today. We've got God on our side. You know, we think it'd be cool to have Samson on our side, the real-life Incredible Hulk. But we've got even better than that. We've got God on our side, the person who gave Samson his strength. So he has way more power than Samson has. The other, you know, I hesitate to call this a good thing, but something that we notice about Samson, though, is that Samson had weaknesses. You know, we read about a lot of Bible characters, and we read about all the amazing things they did and all the great things that they did, but Samson had some real significant weaknesses that we saw in his character. He had a weakness for giving in to what women wanted whenever it really wasn't in his best interest. There was one time whenever he told a riddle to some of the Philistines, his enemies there, and they couldn't figure out the riddle that he told them. And so they went to his wife, who was also a Philistine, and said, get him to tell you, and then you come and tell us, and then we'll answer the riddle. Because they had a bet going. He said, if you can answer my riddle, I'll give you 30 sets of clothes. And if you can't, then you give me 30 sets of clothes. That doesn't sound like much today, but clothes were a big deal back in the first century. You didn't just go to Walmart and buy clothes. You know, this was something you had to start from scratch. You know, you shear the sheep and you do whatever you had to do to wool to make it into clothing. I'm not an expert on those kind of things. Ask Denise if you want to know the process. But, you know, it was a long and arduous procedure making a suit of clothes. And so they were some of the most valuable things that people owned. And so they had a bet for 30 sets of clothes. And so his wife did what the other Philistines wanted. And she begged and pleaded and says, if you love me, you'll do this for me. You know how women are. And so naturally he ended up finally breaking down and telling her the answer to the riddle. And so she went and told the other Philistines, and they answered his riddle for him. So he said, okay, fine. You know, a deal's a deal. I'll pay up. I'll give you 30 sets of clothes. So he went out and he killed 30 Philistines and took the clothes and gave it to them. So, you know, that's just the kind of guy he was. And so then, you know, the story we remember best is Delilah saying, won't you tell me why you're so strong? And so he kept telling her different things, and they were all wrong. And each time she would do whatever it was and call the Philistines, and they'd come in there, and he would beat them all up and everything. So you remember the story. And so finally he did tell her the secret to his strength. And so she cut his hair and went in, and the Philistines captured him and poked his eyes out and made him a slave and all that. So, but the point of the story is that we remember where Samson got his power, and we have access to that same power too. And of course, like Samson, we recognize that people of God have weaknesses and that we've got our limitations. But the power of God helps us to overcome those weaknesses that we have. The scripture that we read, normally whenever you read that, we're talking about baptism. We're talking about repenting and being baptized. But the reason why I asked that scripture to be read, I had Derek read it because of the line that says, "And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That Holy Spirit, that's that same Holy Spirit that gave Samson his strength. It's the Holy Spirit that we have whenever we repent and we're baptized. So that doesn't mean that we can go out and tear apart lions with our bare hands. God doesn't work that way in us today. But we do have more power on tap than we realize. We've got the power to do things that we never would have pictured that we could do on our own. Without knowing the power of the Holy Spirit, Colonel and Kelly may not have ever considered packing up and moving to a country halfway around the world to try to bring people to Christ. Because that seems like the kind of thing that's pretty intimidating to a lot of people. But knowing that you've got the power of the Spirit behind you and that God is there guiding you and helping you and protecting you gives you the confidence to try things that you wouldn't ordinarily try. It gives us the ability to say, okay, well, I'm not really sure what to do, but I know God's going to make it come out all right. That doesn't mean we can do stupid things and expect God to make it come out all right, but we can do the things that God wants us to do and realize it's going to come out okay. Because Colonel and Kelly realized that what they were doing in China was something that they could have gotten trouble for. Had they been caught teaching the Bible there, then they could have been in a lot of trouble. It's something we take for granted here that we can go around and talk about God all we want, and we're not going to end up in jail. But it's something that the thought they had to live with every day. But they knew that they had the power of God behind them and that was supporting them, and that in the end, everything would turn out okay. And that's what gave the early Christians their ability to go out and preach, sometimes at the risk of their lives. And whenever they were executed, it wasn't by lethal injection. It could have been by being torn apart by lions or being crucified or being burned or any number of terrible ways they could die. But even so, they knew it would turn out okay. Even you say, if you get killed, how can that turn out okay? Because they knew they had hope of eternal life that would make it all worthwhile. They said, no matter what, it's all going to be okay. So, sometimes, like Samson, we've got our weaknesses. And there are things that we do wrong. Sometimes our weaknesses are our pride. We think that we can do things that are wrong just because, well, it's okay for me. We think, I'm smart enough, I'm mature enough, I can do that, and I can make it come out okay. We talked about that in the teen class a little bit this morning, that sometimes people say, well, other people have a weakness for alcohol, but I know I'm more mature and I can handle it. And so people that use that pride that they have to think, I can do things other people can't, and it'll turn out okay. Many times they find out they're wrong. Sometimes envy is a weakness that we have. We get caught up in material things. And we look around and we say, oh, I need this in order for people to think that I'm doing well. And so it may be the kind of car we drive or the kind of house we live in. And we do things, we buy things that we really can't afford because we're trying to impress people. It's all because of envy. We want people to be envious of us, when in reality we're envious of other people and the things that they have. And so sometimes we get in trouble financially of trying to afford things that we really can't afford. And that deep down we know we can't afford. But we don't want to be seen as the person who doesn't have what other people have. So we have a weakness like that, and sometimes our weaknesses can be our downfall. Now back to Samson. We can blame Delilah, if you want, for what she did to him. And a lot of times people say, oh, that shows you shouldn't get involved in with women like that. But, you know, Delilah was straight up. She was willing to be upfront about what she was doing. Every time she was asking Samson about his weaknesses, then she would call the Philistines and they'd come running into the room. Samson knew what he was getting into. She didn't try to hide her intentions. It was real obvious what Delilah was doing on there. Samson was just too weak to realize it. He was used to being strong. He wasn't willing to admit that he had a weakness. But he did have a weakness. And so Delilah wasn't the one at fault. It was Samson's responsibility to do the right thing and do what God told him to do. And so he made a mistake, and he suffered for it. He had the worst bad hair day you can imagine. But the consequences were a little more than having to wear a hat during that time. We read his story, and it's not like other Bible stories. I tell people sometimes, aside from Jesus, the only person that we read about that we don't have any record of mistakes that they make is Daniel. And so we tend to read about some of the lives of the Bible heroes, and we say, I can never live up to that. But we can look at Samson's life and say, that's a story I think I might can live up to. He did a lot of bad things, and we wouldn't ordinarily place him in the same category as Paul and Peter and as Moses and Abraham because of the weaknesses that he had. But if you read Hebrews chapter 11, in that gallery of faith, if you want to call it that, of all the people that had great faith, Samson is listed in there. So the writer of Hebrews, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, listed Samson as being a person of faith. And sometimes we wonder, how can somebody that made that many terrible mistakes be listed alongside all those other people and their great faith? But what that highlights to us is that God knows we're going to make mistakes. And God knows that we've got weaknesses. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to make up for the fact that we've got all those weaknesses and that we're going to have problems and we're going to make mistakes. Too many people make a mistake and then they say, God can't forgive this. This was something that it was just too big of a mistake. I don't deserve to go to heaven. You're right. You don't deserve to go to heaven. None of us do. That's the great thing about salvation, is that it isn't based on whether we deserve to go to heaven. Otherwise, none of us would make it. None of us do. But Jesus died so that our sins could be forgiven, so that they can be washed away. So that's what qualifies us for heaven. So when we make mistakes, we just have to acknowledge them. Pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off and learn from our mistakes. And try not to make those again. But that doesn't mean that we're out of God's grace just because we messed up. Because we're going to mess up. We're going to mess up every day of our lives. We're going to make mistakes. But God says, keep the faith. If that's what your salvation is based on, is your faith. Because you're saved by grace through faith. So he says, just keep trying. I know you're going to have weaknesses, and I know you're going to make mistakes, but you just keep trying. This is a game that it's all in who you know. So much in life is all in who you know. People say that's how politicians get where they are, it's who they know. But Jesus is the person to know, because getting to heaven, it's all in who you know. It's all in the networking. And so you need to be best friends with Jesus if that's how you want to get there. So knowing that we've got that grace and that we've got the power of God backing us up, that can give us the courage to do all kind of things. that we never thought we could do. If you ever see, we see figure skaters out there doing amazing things on the ice and doing jumps and leaps and all that. But a lot of times you don't see them practicing when they have a big harness holding on to them. That's how they learn to do all of those fancy jumps. Is they've got a harness so that whenever they mess up their jump, they don't break their leg and be out of practice, not be able to practice for 6 months. They've got that lifeline, that protection. It's kind of like whenever you see people and they're walking sometimes up on a high line or something, or whenever you're climbing the rock wall, you've got that safety harness. I tried recently climbing one of the rock walls, and you see them and they don't look all that high, and you start climbing and then you get up there at the top and you're like, wow, this looks a lot higher from up here than it did from the ground. But you've got this harness on you and this lifeline, and whenever you get to the top, then you say, okay, I'm ready to climb down. They say, don't climb down, just fall backwards. That's a little scary. When you're up that high and they say, just let go and just fall backwards. And whenever I tried that, then as they lower you gently to the ground, you're like, wow, that was the most fun part. But you've got that lifeline there, and that's what Jesus is for, is that lifeline. We can always depend on Him. When we mess up, when we make the mistake, if I didn't grab that rock wall correctly and fell, I didn't have to worry about it. So that gave me the courage that I could do this. And I could have done it without the lifeline now that I saw that I did it with the lifeline. But it gives you the courage to try those things and to know that no matter what happens, it's going to be okay. So we've got an opportunity today. We've got an opportunity to rely on Jesus. We've got an opportunity, if we've made mistakes, to come back to Jesus and to admit to Jesus we've made mistakes and to depend on that lifeline. That lifeline that's going to make sure that we're safe and that we're saved one day, no matter what mistakes that we make. But He does ask for us to repent. Repenting doesn't mean being sorry for what we've done. Not doesn't just mean being sorry. That means it's a commitment to make changes to our life. And so that's what He wants us to do when we're repenting of sin. Is to not just say, I'm sorry and I'm going to be sorry again tomorrow when I do the same thing. It means I'm sorry today and I'm going to try to make sure that doesn't happen again. But if it does, I am going to be back again and I'm going to make a new commitment that I'm not going to make that mistake again. Because that's what God does for us. He gives us that forgiveness. So during the singing of this next song, if you have that kind of a need, we encourage you to come forward and have the prayers of the church to help you out. But also, if you're here and you've never made that commitment to Jesus, if you don't have that lifeline, if you don't have somebody watching over you and telling you it's going to be okay, then what that means is, things are not going to be okay. It means no matter how well your life is going here, it's not going to be okay one day. Whenever you die, things are not going to be going well for you anymore. We, as Christians, have the assurance that even if we die, things are still okay. And if you want to have that kind of an assurance, you can come forward this morning and you can enter into God's grace. You can have that lifeline that's protecting you, so that you always know that things are going to be okay. So whatever your need, we encourage you to come forward while we stand and sing this song.